Let us pray. Lord God, you have declared that your kingdom is among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, our hands to serve it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Thank you. We will be hearing from our musicians today our text for this morning. It is the Magnificat, voiced by Mary. My part is to introduce the text to you, to help us to understand it, at least give one understanding of it. First thing to do is to recall that this is the song of an unwed mother. Mary has been approached by the angel Gabriel, who has informed her that she is to bear the Messiah. We're told that she receives the news, accepts it, and then she goes in haste to go see Elizabeth, her kinswoman. Elizabeth is likewise with child. Elizabeth has already been told that she will bear forth a wonderful prophet, one to be called John, to be known eventually, of course, as John the Baptist, who is to be a forerunner to the Messiah. We're told as well that when Mary enters the room and her voice is heard by Elizabeth, the child within Elizabeth's womb quickens, leaps for joy. I want to begin in a very pragmatic place, a place where we all would probably begin in American culture if we heard this same news, that is, about an unwed mother, and that is with a statistic, something to bring it home to all of us. Each year, almost 615,000 U.S. women aged 15 to 19 become pregnant. Two-thirds of all teen pregnancies occur amongst those older teens, 18 to 19 years of age. The U.S. teen pregnancy continues to be one of the highest in the developed world. It is more than twice as high as the rates in Canada and in Sweden. 82% of teen pregnancies are unplanned. Teens account for about one-fifth of all unintended pregnancies in this country annually. Of course, to be an unwed mother is to be more than a mere statistic. I think probably the greatest failure and sadness that I've had in ministry occurred around a young woman who was accidentally pregnant. She was 18, 19 years of age. She came to me because her parents, who were members of the church, were putting inordinate pressure on her to get an abortion. She came to me to ask for my opinion. She shared with me that her boyfriend was a Mormon, that the Mormon family of his was willing to embrace her and take her in and give her a place to live through the pregnancy, to be with her in raising of the child, to support their marriage. This is what she wanted, but she feared her parents, and she feared her parents would not love her. My mistake that day was to not say to her, "Flee. Run. Get out of town. Come stay with us." That was my mistake. I counseled with her that she was making the right choice to keep the baby, to stay with this Mormon boy, to get married, or at least give the child up for adoption at some point, that the ethical thing in our tradition is to always be in favor of life unless something is undue stress to mother or child. That is uniformly the position of the Presbyterian Church. But she went home, and her parents took her to the doctor and demanded that she have the abortion, and so she did. And her life collapsed around her. I can't explain the parents. I knew that the father was due for a very big promotion. In the culture of that company, he would not have been well thought of if he had a daughter who was pregnant out of marriage, and I'm fearful that that was the pressure. This was years ago, 20 years ago, and still, it bothers me. It bothers me to no end that I didn't say to her, "Run." run. Now, you know, if you go on Google, it tells you how to run away. If you're in this situation, it tells you to think carefully, to pack essentials, to decide your destination, to get a method of transportation, to try to leave unnoticed, to start your new life, to decide whether or not to ever go back and contact your guardians. There's advice because there's so many young people in so many hard situations who just need to run. What a tragedy that can be. Mary, we are told, needed to run. She had to flee. Mary, we are told, left in haste. And we understand why, that in that culture, she would have been rejected by her parents and she would have been stoned. It would have been automatic for the culture. She was taken, so to speak, in a form of adultery. Death sentence would have been passed on her. It would have been over very quickly. And so she runs. And where does she run? She runs to her cousin Elizabeth, who already has had a surprise pregnancy. Apparently Elizabeth is 4 to 5 months along, because when Mary shows up, suddenly the baby quickens. That is, for the first time, she perceives movement in her womb. In the Catholic tradition, the ancient Catholic tradition, and the ancient Jewish tradition, that quickening is the time when the fetus becomes a person, a full person. In other words, John the Baptist became a full person at 4 or 5 months, according to the ancient tradition. And he came to life and recognized to the call the voice of Mary, the mother-to-be of Jesus. Just as John the Baptist would to awaken to his calling before Jesus awakened to his, so it is that even in the womb this occurs, according to this very old story. It is joy that awakens Elizabeth. She feels like she's going to jump out of her skin, we're told. She's filled with gladness. She's celebrating. And in that moment, Mary herself feels joy. She is awakened. She feels gladness. She who was rejected, she who would have been stoned, she who had to flee, suddenly found that everything the angel had told her was suddenly confirmed. She was affirmed as Theotokos, Mother of God, bearer of the Christ child, the one who is to bring the Messiah in the world. And suddenly, counter to all the social pressure, all the stigma, she is filled with joy that does not come from her or even from the circumstances, but comes from God. Because you see, God is the source of joy. It is truly a gift. It is not based on the pressures of outside. It's not based on those things we think make for happiness. Joy comes to us because it is God's joy being experienced and then expressed by us. And so Mary sings. What do you do when you feel joy? Do you sing? Do you hum a tune? Do you jump up and down? When God's joy fills you, what does that look like? The great Duke Ellington wrote a song about joy, about that experience. I want to scream. I want to jump for joy. And I want everyone to know I want to scream. I want to jump for joy. I got to let the whole world know. I want to jump for joy. Joy! Because Cupid shot your arrow in the sky. You know the feeling, jumping and screaming. Here come the angels, by the demons. You must be dreaming. Your heart is steaming. Forget the pain and start believing. Peace and love surrounding earth. Respect to my mom who gave me birth. Butterflies are all moving fast. Is this the last love, or will the love last? Happy as ever. Rhymes quite clever. Respect to the world, because I'm down for whatever. Stimulate the feeling you got inside. Hold me tight so we can take a ride. Wrote my rhyme for you to enjoy. Wave your hands in the air and jump for joy. That is the joy that you and I are invited to hear and experience after 2,000 years of good news, to hear it afresh, to enjoy it anew, to celebrate it, because God is celebrating it through us.